For Mithril Hall, I told myself. Bah! But didn't that chair there tell me different?
The throne rejected you? Caddy Bree asked.
Throwed me across the room?
Brunner exclaimed.
Aye, throwed me and reminded me of me place in me heart.
Take your place upon it now, Wulfgar prompted, and Brunner looked at him curiously. You believe your path to be true, to Pwent and then to your home, Wulfgar explained. Do you hold doubt?
Not a bit,
Brunner replied without hesitation. Wulfgar motioned to the throne.
Are ye asking me to bother me gods so that I'm thinking I'm doing what's right?
Brunner asked.
Ain't that supposed to be me own heart telling me?
Wulfgar smiled, not disagreeing, but he motioned to the chair once more, for he could tell that Brunner was more than a little curious. With a great harumph, the dwarf swung around and hopped up onto the throne. He settled back almost immediately and closed his gray eyes and wore an expression of complete serenity. Breeches nudged Caddy Bree, and when she turned to him, she saw that he was holding aloft another vial of holy water.
A dead halfling and a dead man, and a few slain drow vampires, he reminded her. We've work yet to do.
And all stripped naked, the woman agreed. This place was looted after the fight. That brought a large and audible swallow from Brunner, who hopped down quickly.
Aye! And me grave and Pwent's grave sit just on the other side of the throne,
Brunner told them, already heading that way. He stopped short as he came around the throne to view the cairns, however, and shakily stated,
Bless that old body of mine, girl, I beg ye.
On that, Wulfgar moved around the chair to see the two cairns, both disturbed, obviously. He moved to the nearest and grandest, Brunner's own, and fell to his knees. He began arranging the stones back in order, but he looked back and couldn't help but wince.
What do ye know?
A concerned Brunner asked. He hustled up to stand over the open cairn, then spun away with a snarl and stomped back to the throne. The skull was missing, as well as the thick femurs. Wulfgar went back to his work settling the remaining bones, then began replacing the stones. He felt a hand on his shoulder and glanced up to see Drizzt, smiling and nodding.
Am I burying the past or securing the present?
Wulfgar asked.
Or neither?
Drizzt asked back.
Or merely honoring my father?
Wulfgar agreed, and went back to his task. Drizzt moved beside him and similarly dropped to his knees, beginning his work reconstructing the broken cairn of Thibeldorf Pwent, though that grave was, of course, quite empty.
Feeling strange to see it again, even though I'm knowing in me head the truth of it all,
Brunner admitted, walking up between the two of them.
That's me own body there. Don't know that I'll ever get past that one bit of truth,
he growled.
What's left of it, I mean,
he added. Wulfgar glanced back at his adoptive father and had never seen the dwarf so clearly flustered before. He thought of his own former body, turned to bone now out on the open tundra, no doubt, and wondered what he might think if he happened upon it. He made a mental note to do just that, to find the evidence of his former life and properly inter it. Then he went back to his work on Brunner's skeleton and cairn, gently and lovingly.
You looked at peace on the throne,
Wulfgar said absently as he went about his task.
Aye, and ye named it right, boy,
Brunner replied, though he still held a bit of consternation and irritation in his tone.
Me course is right, and the gods agree. I could feel it, sitting there, I tell ye.
And it didn't throw you across the room, the barbarian quipped.
Brunner put his hand on Wulfgar's shoulder in response, and dropped his other hand on Drizzt's shoulder.
Me course was for me friends, he said quietly, as a dwarf's road has to be.
They got the cairns back together. Catti Bree finished blessing the corpses strewn around the room, and then went to the graves to properly consecrate them.
"Put a glyph on it, too," Brunner bade her. "That way, when them thieves come back, they'll put their own bones next to what's left of mine."
Catti Bree bent low and kissed him on the cheek. "Probably just an animal," she said. "It is the way of things."
"Better be,"
Brunner muttered, and Catti Bree began her prayer.
"So, where do we go from here?"
Regis asked when that was done, the day slipping past. They all looked to Brunner, who simply shrugged.
"I didn't go deeper," he admitted. "Twent and his beasties came to me last time, but not now, seems. Might be that we're showing respect, though. Last time he come to me to protect the graves."
"That's a good sign," Regis remarked.
"Aye, but like I tell ye, up and down with him, edge of control," said Brunner. "And it don't seem like he come back to protect the graves again after I met with him, since me bones were taken."
"I've been lower into the complex," said Drizzt, "all the way to the forge, and to the primordial pit that fires it."
"Had to bring that up, eh?" Brunner quipped with a snort.
"I have been back since that ill-fated journey," Drizzt clarified. "I know the way."
"Drow down there, lots of them," said Brunner. "Twent telled me so."
Drizzt nodded. "We go slowly and carefully, one room, one corridor at a time."
"Our light will serve as a beacon for drow eyes,"
Regis remarked, and he looked to Catti Bree, as did the others.
"I have nothing else to offer," the woman said. "You do not need it, nor certainly do Brunner or Drizzt, but Wulfgar and I."
"I will take the lead far in advance," said Drizzt, "with Brunner second and you three in a group behind." He pulled out his onyx panther figurine and called to Gwenevar. "Bring forth some light, as dim as you can, and shield it. Gwen will stay with you. Be at ease." The panther came in and the party started off, Drizzt taking the point position far in the lead. He moved down one of the hallways leading from the grand entry hall, silent as a shadow, his lithe form pressed against every cranny and jag, and was out of sight before he moved out of range of Catti Bree's minor candle spell. Melkatka was not a noble of House Orlaren, but this particularly cruel drow had garnered great favor among the noble family. Jarth, the house weapons master, knew his name and spoke to him.